We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered. It's time for the Midwest Outdoors with Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin. Brought to you by Reed Chevrolet, the Hearing Connection in St. Joe, the Sports Medicine Store, and Sportsman's Outfitters and Marine. Now, here are Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Midwest Outdoors. Tickled to death to be with you. The Saturday and every Saturday seems like about the same time we get here on the air for some reason. This is a nice meeting place. Mark Tobin is here, my co-host, and in the studio, well within striking distance. If he doesn't give me the right answers, I'll get Mary Frances's axe handle out. Kelly Kurtz is with us, so we're going to talk a little turkeys. If you'd like to join us on the air, it's 913-3810-810. We'd love to hear from you, and we always try to stay after the show for 10 or 15 minutes. If you don't want to talk on the air, we will talk to you off of the air. I don't know why it makes people nervous, you know, but what the hey. Mark, how you been doing?
Well, good, except I haven't been fishing near enough. But, you know, things are kind of tough out there right now. I'm not hearing very many happy reports on the fishing right now. I think all these cold fronts are finally taking a toll. It seems like things were pretty good last weekend, and a lot of fish were getting caught real shallow. I mean, 6 inches, a foot of water, even with the cold front and the gale force winds that we had last week. But it's not all that rosy right now. It's tough. We had a friend of mine went out to Hillsdale Thursday, fished for 7 hours, had one drum and no other bites.
A drum. Yeah. Oh, they're a good fight.
Not even a bite. Yeah, they are. And they hit good.
They're fun to catch.
A little disappointing when you reel it in.
Yeah.
You know, a redfish in saltwater is a cousin to it. Well, it's a saltwater drum.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
Yeah.
Now, our freshwater drum, I don't think quite as good, but.
You know, you can rattle them and you can hear that little thing in their brain.
Yeah, I used to collect those.
Really?
It's two little pearl bones.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine, he was Indian, and he made necklaces out of those. But, and they were really pretty. You're looking at me like, you got to be kidding, right?
Yes, I am.
But they're pearl colored. They're really pretty little bones in those heads.
Huh.
But, yeah, Truman is tough. Lake the Ozarks tough right now. Still some fish to be had, and it could change any day now. But right now, you're going to have to fish probably a little bit deeper. Talking to Richard Bowling, our guide buddy, down on Truman yesterday.
He's probably still catching them.
He had a group of three out yesterday, and he's been taking two trips out a day. And, I mean, it doesn't take very long. They've got a limit and catching and release in pretty short order. But it took him all day to get 37. Couldn't get there 45.
Oh!
And it was bad enough he's canceled his trips for the weekend. And
wow.
Steve Blake, another buddy of mine, guide on he's out of Sterrett Creek on Truman. He doing so bad on Truman, he decided to fish Lake of the Ozarks yesterday and did even worse there.
Whoa.
When you got the guide struggling like that, that's not a good sign.
No. That's a big tournament, isn't it, this weekend on Truman?
I have not. I'm sure this time of year there's one every weekend.
Yeah.
But Richard Bowling, he finally found some fish, but they're out deeper. They're out in 8 foot of water and 15 foot deep. Mm. So yeah. if you're pounding the banks this weekend and not doing any good, move out there a little bit deeper, see if you can't find some.
Just a strange weather pattern, strange year. I was coming back from turkey hunting yesterday, and there's still a snowdrift in the ditch up there.
No way.
Yeah.
The first 18 days of April were colder than the first 18 days of February, and this is our coldest April on record so far. Another crazy thing, Channel 4 had a map that they showed last week,
mm-hmm.
and they showed the departures from normal temperatures. And right here in the Midwest, we were the coldest in regards to what departures from normal, the coldest in the entire world.
Isn't that bizarre? Oh, well. We're going to go to the phones. Adam, how are you doing this morning?
Hello.
Good morning.
Adam, how are you?
Hey, Adam.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm all right.
Just something that really helped me out with the crappie fishing. I know on Missouri side of the lakes here, if you get on the Missouri Department of Conservation's website, they have a map on there that you can type in what lake you're going to fish, and they'll actually show you a map of where they have established crappie bed that.
Yes, we know. Uh-huh.
And that is, my fishing went from, because I'm not one of these sonar guys or fish uh-huh. finder guys. I just like to go out and fish. And once I found those, my fishing tripled.
Wow. Where are you fishing?
Fishing Lake of the Ozarks a lot. Fishing Smithville Lake in Smithville, Missouri a lot. And then we hit up Truman and Stockton as well. But
wow, you get all over.
Cool. We do. We do. My girlfriend and I absolutely love it. It's best time of year for us.
Does she outfish you?
Some days.
I don't know why it is. Some women just got that touch.
Oh, boy. I do.
She's
that.
One of them that does. and even in cold weather, I've had very, very good luck around, you know, they're not necessarily brush piles. There could be structures that they've set out there. But and if you go back down to the Lake of the Ozarks, they have an article that they've done when they've done their yearly count on fish. 90% of the crappie in the Angua arm were over the 9-inch limit.
Wow. Awesome.
So
boy.
Hit the Niangua arm up if you're on Loto.
Wow. Ooh. Well, that's great advice. I appreciate you calling in with that.
What about Smithville? How'd you do up there this year?
So far, it's not been like knocking them out crazy, but they're still pretty deep. When I say deep, I've catching them 16, 18 foot of water.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are, if you can find the channel of the water, find them outside bends. They'll back up in that bend of the channel and just kind of
stack up there or something.
Jigs or minnows?
Yep. Jigs. All jigs.
Oh, yep. Cool. Do you have a favorite jigs. Color?
Don't milk the guest. God.
Red on Lake of the Ozarks works extremely well right now.
Adam, do you ever stumble into a walleye up here at Smithville?
No, not at Smithville. I have caught one by mistake at Lake of the Ozarks down by Ha Ha Tonka.
Oh, really? All right. I would mm-hmm. love that part of the lake.
Huh. That's beautiful.
Where uh-huh. is that? Where is it? Wait a minute. I'm blank. I'm blank all the time, but that's ridiculous. Where is this? Where is this at?
Hahatonka is what's that? The big creek arm that's in.
It's in Osage Beach. It's right off of 54 Highway if you're driving. There's a huge spring there that runs out to the lake. I think it produces 30 million gallons a day or something like that.
I'll be darned.
It's a huge spring down there.
Wow.
You ever catch any stripers up there?
No. A lot of white bass, but no stripers.
Yeah. Wow. Well, cool.
Sounds good.
Great information. Yeah, check out the Missouri Conservation's website. Yeah, they've got a lot of brush piles that they put out on those lakes. They work really hard on that stuff.
This woman goes fishing with you all the time?
Absolutely, yeah.
Wow.
We enjoy it. We really do.
Well, that's great.
My wife just likes to get me out of the house on the weekend. Yeah. I don't know why that is.
Amazing, isn't it?
But wow. Yeah, we have a good time.
I'll be darned. I mean, I got to ask you, this male Chauvin, does she help you clean them and cook them?
She won't help clean, mm-hmm. but she don't mind helping cook them. But she loves eating them.
Yeah. Ooh.
Where are you off to next?
We have a house down there on Lake of the Ozarks. We'll go down there over the weekend.
Oh, cool.
We're going to try the Graboid arm this weekend.
What mile mark are you at?
I'm on the 13.
Oh, you're way up there.
Way up. You got room for me and Mark today? Or?
Yeah, come on. Let's go.
Turkey hunting's no good, so I might as well go crappie fishing.
I live up in Weston, near Weston, full-time up by the river, and they're gobbling, but, man, they're once they come out of the roost. They don't gobble very long right now.
Tough deal. So what the hey? All right. Well, thanks for calling in.
And, you bet. Thank you.
Appreciate
that. Good talking to you.
Yeah, good talking to you. What a nice guy.
Yeah.
He's a good guest. If you'd like to join us on the air, it's 913-310-810. And we're talking a little bit. Have you heard anybody being shot, Kelly? Have you heard anybody, any incidents this year so far?
Not yet, no. But I've noticed the buck brush and a lot of the bushes are starting to leaf out. So
yeah.
Everybody's going to have to really be careful now last 2 weeks.
I got to take a moment here. We lost a fellow outdoorsman, Larry Scroggins, died this week. Had a heart attack while turkey hunting. 74, maybe, I think, maybe. Does that sound right?
Yeah, right.
76, somewhere in there. Great guy. Yeah, tremendous outdoorsman. Every time I'd go to a tournament, I know I was fishing for second place when he was there because he was that good. It didn't make any difference. He could turn the switch. You know, if he was hunting deer, if he was hunting turkeys, or if he was catching flathead out of the river, he could catch it all. So we'll dearly miss him. He was a tremendous, tremendous that guy and a tremendous outdoorsman. So just had to get that in there real quick. Boy, fishing, it's too many fronts.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm out turkey hunting in the morning. It's 28 degrees, and I got frost all over my feet, and I'm thinking.
And then 30-mile-an-hour winds.
Yeah.
And, oh, my gosh, it's just been miserable.
Yeah, it's beyond miserable. It's just not fun, you know. Something wrong with hunting turkeys when you got your deer hunting clothes on.
Well, every weekend this whole month has been that way. You know, I think I told you last week, my youngest son loves snow ice cream. And we didn't get any snow ice cream this year until the second week of April.
There you go.
Got our first batch of snow ice cream.
I don't know. Now, allegedly, if you want to listen to the long-range forecast, this time next week, it's supposed to be maybe knocking on 80 degrees, 78, you know.
It's about that time, but I'm afraid we're just going to go right past spring and right into summer.
I don't think we had a spring.
No.
Yeah, it's just crazy, you know. I got some farming buddies, and they're running into corn in the ground, and you just think about it. Ooh, man, the ground temperature isn't right, you know, for it to germinate, and you're not going to get much of a yield.
Well, Kelly, you were just saying you were checking the ground temperature here.
2 days ago, it was 48 degrees.
That's unbelievable.
It's too cold. I went by that old, we don't have any water. We don't have water in northwest Missouri anymore. But there's a little mud hole left up there, and it had ice on it the other day when I was turkey hunting, and I thought, geez. Third week of April.
That's not good for the mushrooms. I mean, it's too dry. It's too cold. And this, according to Teresa Maybrier, the mother mushroom that we had on the show last week, she said normally around the 15th, income tax day, is when mushrooms appear here. But it ain't happening. Yeah. And this is supposed to be, she says that the mushrooms go in cycles, five-year cycles, in really big bunches.
Uh-huh.
And this is supposed to be one of those banner years.
I'm from Missouri. You have to show me.
It doesn't look good.
It and May apples, what do you say, about an inch out of the ground?
Yeah, they're just now busting through the top. They're just the tops of them are just now breaking through the ground there Monday morning that I noticed. So
that's at least 2 weeks off.
Yeah. It's crazy, crazy times. I don't know. That's
darn global warming.
And my Royals can't play when it's cold.
No, we don't need to talk about that.
Yeah. I'm going to go down and pitch the 8th and 9th, I guess. I don't want to. I'll come out of retirement, you know. So
it can't be any worse.
No. I'm mad at him. I don't know. We'll see what happens. We got to take a little bit of a break. We're running really pretty well on time today. We usually are banging our heads against the wall, getting in more stuff.
Because it's hard to get you. Hard to get you to quit talking.
This is my favorite part of the show is that I get to talk about King City Lumber Company because I love these guys. They are master builders. And if you, I was in one of their buildings 3 days ago, built 15 years ago or something. Looks just like the day they built it. I've never seen anybody like these guys. So if you're wanting a place to keep your horsey, you got to have a horsey. And you got to keep him in where it's warm, out of the wind.
Yeah, especially this year.
So if you want a place for your horsey, these are the humans I recommend. They are the nicest people, master carpenters. They do it professionally. They do it right. You never see them again because you'll never have a complaint about them. But whatever, go to their website, kingcitylumber.com. And whatever you can imagine, they can build. And they'll help you design. They'll do whatever it takes. Marty and Monty Tunks are the nicest people that ever walked on the face of the earth. They're from King City, Missouri. It's kingcitylumber.com. They built my loafing. You haven't been in the loafing shed, have you?
I have not.
Got that recliner waiting for you to come up there?
That's where I'll spend my day.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we need to get you up there. But they build it. And when you walk inside up, you understand what I'm talking about. I go, wow, this is the way to build buildings. King said, they do something for you. They build anything for you?
They built my garage for me.
Yeah.
Yep.
Kelly's here, and he built his garage. Everybody I talked to, a lady, I was talking about this one day, and she said, well, there's only one people to do it. That's King City Lumber Company. So kingcitylumber.com is where you need to go to. You'll spend quite a bit of time on their website. They got a really cool website. So,
Fred,
if you're in the mode.
Before you go for this, I have a text message. Once this person, it's my nephew, Alan. Good morning, Alan. He wants to know what a horsey is.
A horsey?
Mm-hmm.
That's something you bet money on, you never win.
Horsey is.
I bet on Fast Freddy in the fifth one time and get him run dead last. Never forget it. I was in Sioux City. I'm still mad about that. So, and Big John Taylor, you probably don't remember that horse.
Nope,
but anyway,
nope.
And he always run first until I bet on him. He would dog off. He would stumble and fall a lot, you know. What the heck? Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We're going to take a little break. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. Our producer, the greatest American to walk the face of the earth, Rudy. How you doing? I haven't talked to you forever. You okay?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. A little tired this morning. I was here till like midnight last night, so quick turnaround.
4 or 5 hours, good quality sleep. Didn't hurt you a bit, did it?
Oh, yeah. Especially when you know you have to wake up early and you don't want to oversleep.
Yeah.
Every Friday night, I wake up like 6 or 7 times throughout the night.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I know that routine.
Yeah, I know that. And I woke up at 1:15, 2:15, and finally got out of bed at 3:15 this morning. So
Same way with me.
I don't know why. Radio business affects your sleep.
It does.
There's no doubt about
it. I'm always afraid I'm going to oversleep. And
yeah. Oh, well. We'll all get through it somehow on the deal. Kelly Kurtz in the studio. We're going to talk a little bit of turkeys. I'm looking at the website and the harvest numbers. And to say I'm disappointed is a vast understatement. And if you'll go to their spring turkey harvest map, and log on there, you'll see why we're whining, we're complaining. But the green is 0 to 50 birds in this thing, and the northwest corner of Missouri is absolutely bizarre. The only bright spot, one of there's been about 50 birds taken out of Holt County, which I found hard to believe, but what the hey. But you can see where the hatch cycle is. Wouldn't you think, Kelly, you kill a bird the other day with your bow and arrow again, but you're a tremendous outdoorsman, but it's the reason you're here. But you're just not hearing the birds, seeing the birds?
No. I'm very disappointed in our bird numbers up there this year. I don't think I've ever had this many people come up and ask, and it's all over the county, and it's people are just not hearing, seeing the birds. I mean, it's almost ridiculous, the number of birds. I'd say 50% is half of what we're seeing.
Yeah.
Any idea what's going on?
I don't. I really, Fred and I have talked about it, and I've talked to other people. We don't know whether it's the predators, the hatch. I mean, I know we haven't had a hatch in probably 3 years because of the weather. But this year I'm seeing Jake, so that is a very good thing. I mean, it's a plus. I'm excited to see Jake's. A few other people are seeing Jake's, so we obviously had a hatch last year. I had 4 Jake's come in on opening day, and it fouled up my hunt because the mature Tom wouldn't come in because he'd been beat off by the Jake's, of course. But I was really tickled to see him, but I'm not seeing any hens.
And the reason you always get excited about the Jakes is next year they're 2-year-old birds.
Yeah, that'll be your goblin birds for next year.
Yeah, and you make a living if you're a guide service. You make your living off 2-year-old birds. you know, because they're pretty gullible. They run up over every hill and dale looking for a girlfriend, and they gobble and gobble and gobble. And I don't care how bad a turkey caller you are, if you got a two-year-old bird, he'd probably come look. You know, when it's right, when there's a bunch of two-year, a plethora, as I like to always throw
that
word.
There's that big word again.
When there's a lot of birds, you know, you can scratch on a tin can when it's right. You know, and you really think, man, I'm a great turkey caller, you know, on the deal. You know, and this is this separates the turkey hunters from the also runs this year. And it is as tough as I was out in my favorite spot. I always got a place that I just, you got to walk forever to get back in there yesterday. And I think I might have heard one, but I'm not real, real sure. You know, that's how slim the pickings are on the thing. Hmm. And I did call in some hens, and the hens, me and this hen, we had the darndest conversation. I don't know what we was talking about, but we had the darndest conversation yesterday morning right at first light. I think we were exchanging recipes or something. I don't know what was going on. She would not leave me, and she just was so vocal. And she just yelp and yelp and yelp, and almost, which a lot of people confuse it, alarm putt, but it was an assembly putt. There's a lot of difference. You can tell an alarm putt, it's a real higher octave. But she just kept putting at me and sassing me and sassing me, and I'd give it right back to her. And I'm sitting there calling this hen, and I thought, you know, if there was a gobbler around this area, this should get him fired up enough to gobble. You know, if the real McCoy can't call him in, what in the world am I doing out here on this thing? And there, I think I might have heard one a half a mile away or maybe more, but I would, if he did, he only gobbled one time. And it's just the most, yeah. And I walk through the woods, there's no scratchings, there's no droppings, there's no feathers, there's just nothing around it. It's just gloom and doom in the northwest corner. So the moral of the story is, if you're a turkey hunter, you need to go down in Texas County. It looks real, real good. You know, a lot of the southern counties are dead center south of Columbia. Got a plethora of birds, evidently. They've had some really, really good hatches down there. But, boy, you can just see this map. When you look at it, you go, oh, I understand now. The other thing me and you talked about, Kelly, was predation. I've called in more coyotes with my turkey call than I have turkeys this year. I think they're getting to be a learned behavior. Do you agree with that?
I definitely agree with that, Fred. These turkeys, I think, are getting to where they know if they gobble or the hens are calling that the coyotes are responding to them. Like you say, it's a learned pattern from when they were pups.
Yep.
Because I think they were taught that the sound of the turkey, that's a free meal to them. Mm-hmm. And I was the same way Monday morning on opening day. I was sitting there calling and had a coyote come into me also. Mm-hmm. And that was just, and it, of course, ruined my hunt. The turkey scattered. But I also had a chicken hawk swoop down Monday morning, I was telling you, and hit a hen sitting in the tree. And I actually sat there and watched this happen.
Wow.
Dang. And the feathers drifted down for 10 seconds.
Wow. But
he knocked her out of the tree. She flew off, and she eventually come back and flew back into the same tree that she was in.
No kidding.
With the mature gobbler, and he sat in the tree till after 8 o'clock that morning because the jakes were down there below him, which had come into me at the blind. But these coyotes are, and last year I had a coyote do the exact same thing, had a bird working, and I mean, they're just responding to these noises because they know it's a free meal. And
exactly. Between the bad hatch and the predation, where I was at yesterday, a little old, what's left of a, it's 5 feet wide mud hole, which is usually 20, 30 yards wide. But you cannot walk through there if you don't see a coyote track or a bobcat track. There's too many predators out here on this thing, and they're completely out of control. I'd like to see them put a bounty back on them again so the guys would get after them a little bit. But, I mean, I live in the south end of St. Joe, and we have coyotes in the yard all the time. We have foxes in the yard all the time. I about ran over a bobcat coming down here to work one morning. You know, my neighbor's cats are gone, you know, and they got an ad on the fence post, you know, have you seen Fluffy? Well, Fluffy's in the belly of a coyote somewhere. That's what's going on. You know, the other thing, too, is it's predation is not only, you know, there used to be a lot of elk bugled in Montana. Well, the elk bugling got to where the wolves out there would relate it to groceries. you know, so the elk have quit bugling. I'm not real darn sure if some of these gobblers haven't quit, if what few there are left, but I don't think they gobble too awful much. I mean, do you think that's got any validity at all?
I agree. You know, the southern birds down in South Missouri, they don't gobble anymore because of the hunting pressure. Remember, you know, in Arkansas when we were down there?
Yeah.
Because they knew if they gobbled that somebody was going to come. And
exactly.
I'll tell you another reason is the fur markets are down. So
sure.
And the raccoon and the skunk and the possums, which I know the possum and skunk are not, you know, a valued fur market, but the raccoons, they get in the nests and bust up the egg. You know, the clutches are being eaten.
Yeah.
And even though it takes, a hen takes 28 days to, you know, to set, to hatch her clutch, and the coons are getting in there eating the eggs and the possums and the skunks, all three. I mean, I tell you what, the turkeys are having a struggle right now the weather. And we got to have rain for the baby turkeys because they're just like a baby quail. They drink the dew off the grass of a morning.
Yeah, they got to have a drink.
They got to have something to drink, yeah, and we're just not getting it.
Within the first 24 hours, they don't get a drink, they die.
Uh-oh.
Not a deal. I understand you went and saw my good friend or talked to Terry Lee at Highway Trailer Sales.
I did. What a wonderful man he is.
Isn't he a good
human?
You
said he's one of the nicest guys you've ever talked to. He absolutely is. He made it a point to make sure that we take his 14-year-old son out fishing. So we got to make that happen.
He'll probably outfish us.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
He sounds like he's pretty sharp with the rod and reel.
1850 Southern Road, 435 straight about west of World of Fun, what I would, you know, tell you how to get there type thing, but you can Google and you get there. I've got a lot of farmers that listen to the show, and it seems like they've always got a grain trailer in repair, whether it be the brakes, the bearings, or if they've rolled over, which we know of one bunch that rolled over three of them in one season. Always in a hurry with these grain trailers. I mean, I don't and I don't blame them. But if you've got a trailer, I don't care if it's a flatbed or I don't care what kind of trailer, it's a grain hauling trailer, these guys... I don't know how to do a good enough commercial for them. That's how good they are. And if you got a problem, they got a problem. They will fix it. They will fix it right. They'll do what's right, and they'll stand behind it 110%. So if you've ever had an instance where you have a trailer and you need it in repair for you guys driving these 18-wheelers and stuff, these are the humans you do business with. Highway Trailer Sales, again, they're located at 1850 Southern Road, up here in north end of Kansas City. Terry Lee, the nicest American you'll ever be around. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely, 100%. Yep.
Great guy.
Mm-hmm.
Great guy. Stops what he's doing and visits with you. Nobody takes time to visit anymore.
Just like he's known you forever.
Yeah, he's a great guy. When I left there, I was just, that guy was just too nice to me, you know. So go by and see him. Highway Trailer Sales, 816-769-3658. That's 816 area code 769-3658. And go by or visit them on the website. Well, either way, it's highwaytrailersales.com. Go do business with these fantastic people. Highwaytrailer.com. Got to take a little break. This is the Midwest Outdoors. We'll be right back with you. Yeah. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. If you'd like to join us on the air, it's 913-3810-810. We would gladly welcome your calls, and we're talking. We got Kelly Kurtz in the studio, my famous co-host, the best fisherman, the 37th best fisherman. No, wait a minute. You haven't fished. You're 41st best fisherman in the United States right now.
Yeah, that's what happens when I don't fish.
Yeah, you got to get back in a groove, Mark.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. Do that this weekend.
Yeah. Kelly, had any ticks this year?
Yeah, I have over in Nebraska about 2 weeks ago. In fact, mm-hmm. I had them. I got home and had ticks. I haven't had any here in Missouri yet, but
yeah,
I sure had them over there. Of course, there's a lot more cedar. I was hunting cedar trees over there around them, and that's where I seem like it always gets them. But yeah, I had three on me that one morning I got home. And
woo.
Of course, I hadn't put any mosquito tick repellent on.
Yeah,
you know, the best one out there is Whoop a Bug.
Yeah, I've heard you guys talk about
it. Without question, it you know, not just for ticks, anything, any kind of insect, it's the best. It's all natural. It's just different kinds of oils, and I mean, this stuff is so safe you could actually drink it. No insecticide in it whatsoever. And well, I know, Fred, you'll yeah. spray it on the ground yeah. wherever you hunt.
Wherever I hunt. When I sat down the other morning in the frost, I might add, you know, I just sprayed the tree behind me and around, and I've yet to have a pesky vermin on me this year. So
we were playing around with it down at the lake, and we have a deck and table out there, and there was a bunch of ants, little ants going back and forth across the table. So I just took one little squirt and put it on, you know, right where their path was, and they'd get about an inch away from it, and they'd stop like, what this? Is this?
Yeah.
And they'd try to go forward a little bit, and they wouldn't. They'd just turn around and go back the other direction. So I sprayed it on some of them, and it actually killed them.
Oh, I'll be darned.
But it'll do that with ticks. I mean, you've seen them
yeah.
crawl across your foot and die.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy the way that stuff
well,
works.
I tell you, if you're going out mushroom hunting, just going out in the woods, doesn't matter. Get some of that whoop-a-bug.
I watched a TV special the other night about some little girl. I think it was Minnesota, maybe. Michigan. Got bit by a tick and it killed her.
Oh, my gosh.
10, 11 years old. Oh. Beautiful little girl.
And oh, how horrible.
And, you know, and when it first came on the show and they were trying to diagnose it, and I said, they got bit by a tick. And sure as the dickens, that's what had happened.
Oh, that's horrible.
And she died within 10 days, I think it was.
Oh, good gosh.
You know, how bad it got.
Yeah, don't take a chance going out in the woods
yeah,
without.
And I've had it once, years and years and years ago, and it was the most miserable experience of my life. I laid on the couch for 5 days, and I didn't care what happened.
I did the same thing. I got a tick bite. It was Ehrlichiosis was yep. what I had. And yep. it's not like Lyme disease, but it's the same kind of a deal.
Yeah.
Just like horrible flu.
Oh.
Horrible.
Your
everything
hair
hurt.
Hurts. Your oh, hair hurts.
Just to blink, everything.
You wrinkle your toes up and hurts. You know, just so miserable. And I finally end up going to the doctor and taking these pills. I think they gave them to Fast Freddy and the Fifth, but one of those great big pills and a whole bunch of them afterwards and on the deal. So it was.
You can get that whoop-a-bug. Any of the Westlake Hardwares around town has it. Most of the better garden centers around town have it as well.
Great product. It has no DEET in it, you know, cancer-causing
no
agents. This is a natural,
it's all natural
stuff.
So you put it on your pets. In fact, that's used on pets quite often and horses.
Yeah, it was developed for dairy farms,
mm-hmm.
you know, for the flies.
Keep
and
the flies
stuff
off
on the deal. And they would literally soak the pathway coming in and out with that stuff, and that way they'd keep the flies out of the dairy barn. And they got to pass inspection. So you can't have a chemical around, you know, but you can have womp bug on
yep.
the stuff. That stuff is phenomenal.
Nothing like it.
And you don't. And the best part about it is that you don't have to use very darn much. I've got, I bought a pint of it, I think it was. That's been several years ago, and I've got over half of it left.
Yeah, it doesn't take hardly any at all.
Didn't take hardly any. I got a little dispenser that I squirt it with and carry it right in my vest while I'm turkey hunting on the deal, so what the hey.
Well, you know, guys, how the weather affects everything that we do outside. Kelly, do you know what a turkey's favorite kind of weather is?
Here we go.
Here it comes. No,
early.
I'm just going to pass on. No, what is it?
It would be foul weather.
There you go.
Well,
yep, it is, and it's been terribly foul this year.
What?
This job don't pay enough.
That's why I came down here today, Mark, just to see you tell me a joke. That way you didn't have to tell me over the phone.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry.
It's way too early in the morning for this stuff. Tell me about this bird. Just see, Wednesday you killed a bird with bone arrow.
Thursday morning.
Yep. I lose track of time.
Yeah, I have too. It's been a long week.
Yeah. Did you roost this bird? You know they were in there.
No, I didn't. I went in there blinded, Fred. I didn't have a clue. This I'd given up everywhere else I'd been. The farm that I usually hunt usually got 4 and 5 birds on it. Opening day had one bird on it, and like I say, the Jakes. Wasn't successful there, didn't get to go Tuesday or Wednesday, and went down Thursday to this other farm, went in there blind, set up, the bird started gobbling across the pasture from me up on the ridge, and I started working on him, and everything happened like it was should. He gobbled probably 40, 50 times in the tree and
wow.
flew down into the timber, and pretty soon he come across the pasture strutting to me, and
he came to your decoy?
He came right into the decoy, the Jake decoy, and flogged it and 2 or 3 times, and I had to wait for him to clear the decoy because I use those good decoys, those gosh, I went blank there for Avion X decoys, and I didn't want to shoot
$80 decoy.
$80 for a Jake decoy, and he was hammering on it, and I didn't want to throw an arrow through it and ruin it. So
$80, one shot.
Yeah. Plus the arrow.
Plus the arrow. So you're talking $90, $100, you know.
Yeah, but he came in like a real trooper, and I waited for him to clear the decoy and harvested the bird. So
how far, what was the shot? 15 yards, 20, 30, what?
7 yards.
Oh, gosh. what kind of broadhead you like?
I use a Rage Extreme broadhead, 100 grain broadhead. I use a carbon, 360 grain carbon arrow. So I shot him. He was facing me, which I most generally don't like that shot, but I shot him right at the base of the neck.
That'll work.
And it about decapitated him. So that's the first time I really ever – I shot a little high, actually. I was trying just right at the base of the beards usually when I try to shoot them whenever they're facing me. But I like shooting them at the wing butt. That's my favorite
place. The broadside.
Yeah, that takes them right down, I mean, immediately. And it'll shoot clear through them that way.
Now, the bird you harvested in Nebraska, basically the same, not very far away.
He was 6 yards. I usually set my decoys when I'm bow hunting, usually between 5 to 10 yards, depending on the situation. And open field like that, it's pretty tough, you know, when they're coming across. Sometimes you're lucky if they see the blind or something, but I usually, you know, 5 to 10 yards is my normal setup pattern. And I had two hen decoys set up there. I set them in kind of a V pattern. And you always want to set your Jake decoy to where it's the bird usually comes in and is facing it. That way you get a broadside shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
common sense, they call that.
It's a lot of years of trial and error.
Yeah,
is what it is.
Yeah, and the Nebraska bird was basically the same. Come in goblin.
Yeah, he came in goblin the whole way and came in around me and came in from the front of me just like this. When it was, I was in heavy timber there though. Over there, this I didn't really get. I mean, he came up over the ridge and strutted to me through the brush, and this one came across wide open pasture, and I got to watch the whole show there.
Oh boy,
what a time to have a video camera, but of course I didn't. But It was an extremely good hunt, and it made up for Monday's mistakes. So, yeah, it was good.
Speaking of common sense or lack thereof, have you seen these guys? I've seen this. It seems to be getting popular on the internet. Some people call it fanning. Some people call it scoot and shoot. You put the fan of a turkey on the end of your shotgun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And go crawling out in the fields.
Uh huh.
I mean, it looks cool because these birds come right up on top of you.
Sure.
But is that not one of the stupidest things you can do?
Oh, boy.
Very deadly around, you know, even out in the open, I wouldn't recommend it. Like, if you're out in an open pasture, everybody says, well, we're on private ground. That's not a good idea.
Yeah.
And if you're in the timber, you're just asking for it.
Just because it's private ground doesn't mean that somebody hadn't ooched in on there.
No. I wish they hadn't have done that, because that's going to get some people shot.
Mm-hmm. Like 20 years ago, or maybe 15 years ago, I was in Texas, and a guy had one. And it was 5 feet tall, the fan was.
What the heck?
Turkeys can't relate to size, you know. And he was walking, I had a piece of plywood on his left arm. And we watched him, and he crawled in on the bird, and the bird just stood there and took it like a man on the thing. And I told him when he came back there, Manuel was his name, and I said, Manuel, I hope that never takes off. And I said, you go up in Missouri, they'll take you out of their body bag.
Yeah.
It's just too green. There's too much activity. I saw a kid walking out last year out of public hunting ground. I hunt a lot of public hunting ground. He had one of those things, and he had it strapped on his left arm. It was kind of a unique setup. He'd built it himself. And I thought, boy, when I first saw it, first thing I saw was the fan. You know, I mean, it was what I'm in tune to, you know. And then he had camouflage on, and I see him wiggling in behind it, but he was walking back out of there, and I thought, man, talk about target. I didn't call him an idiot. I wanted to, but I was being nice, and I told him how great a turkey he was. But I said, man, I wouldn't put that thing on me for nothing.
No.
I just wouldn't do it.
That's an accident waiting to happen.
You know, and I got to do that interview, and I talk about it all the time, but I got to do the interview with the guy who shot and killed his barber, you know, on Grandpa's farm. We never had a trespasser in our life. And, of course, he cut that kid's hair, and the kid was crowing about how many turkeys they had on that farm. And that barber, probably a well-intentioned guy, maybe had permission to hunt over across the fence or something, got adrenaline rush, got on that bird. And it was foggy that morning. He saw red, white, and blue. Pulled the trigger, and it was his barber. He had a red, white, and blue bandana around his neck.
Oh, my good gosh. Why in the world?
And I thought, wow. It's just crazy. But I don't know. And that kid cried, and his wife cried, and his kids cried, and I cried, and everybody in the room cried, and proud of it. It was not time to man up. It was time to be sincere. And I've never put that behind me. And then we had Bob Lockett on air here, and Bob was wearing a Texas A&M sweater, orange, wrapped around his neck. He was whistling, walking down the road, and a guy was sitting just off the road and plastered him and knocked him clear down, hit him with, I think it was a load of sixes, point blank, and thank God most of the, he saw the gun come up and he put his arm up. And pellets went into his arm, through his nose, and
lucky to be alive.
Oh, he would have bled to death. Life Flight happened to be in the area, and they got a hold of him and got him out to the first. Some kid came down the road and made a new road in there to get him out of there with a pickup truck. Thank God, an old beater truck, and had an old brush hog on the front of it, and just basically drove out there and got him and brought him out to the road where Life Flight could get to him, or he would have been dead. Been the deal. And if we're scaring you, we mean to.
Right.
Well, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I mean people can also make the same argument, Fred, that with me using the Jake decoy, or a lot of people use a full strut Tom decoy out, that's the same thing. Somebody walks up on and sees a Jake decoy that it's got a red, white, it's got the white snowball on top. I mean, they're going to shoot it also, but when you're going up through raising that fan up and down, going through
that
the brush,
movement.
Now, yeah, the movement, the decoys are stationary. But, the decoys also, you really, like you always say, make sure that you see the beard on the bird and make sure that it's a real live, bird before you're allowed to pull the trigger. So.
Kelly, one of the most severe or the weirdest ones that I get a lot of those stories, the kid had a decoy on a stake, and a guy crawled up behind him and shot the decoy, which was terrible, but spun around on the stake and the kid shot it again.
No way.
Yep. And I thought, you buffoon. This guy should not have a turkey tag.
No.
He should not be allowed to go into the woods. It's such a great sport. But it's so dangerous. You need to think about what you're doing out there. Wait, we got just a few minutes left. Maybe a warm pattern this time next week. 78 degrees, they're saying here in Kansas City.
Hey.
Maybe 80.
That'll get the fish up on the banks.
Get the fish on the bank, but it ought to make turkeys turn on a little bit too, don't you think?
I would think so. What few are around, the hens ought to be going to the nest here in the next 5 days or so. I think the second and third weeks ought to be exceptionally good. We get some warmer weather, the gobbling ought to pick up, the birds ought to be off by themselves. Mid-morning, 10 o'clock on, ought to be really good. After the breeding ought to be slowing down. The hens will go to the nest, the toms will be standing around gobbling. If you can find one gobbling at 11 o'clock, chances are you'll probably harvest that bird. So, but also, like I was saying earlier, the buck brush, the timbers are going to start greening up now. If we happen to get a rain, be extremely careful because it's going to get tight in there.
We don't get rain, Kelly.
Well, not in
this.
Hope
them
County.
Them days are over with up where we live at. It never rained. Rained last June, though.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, and so we were fortunate enough. I stood out in the rain because I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I remember that when I was a kid when it rained all the time, Boy, I've never seen it that dry. Not in Northwest Missouri. Never.
It's terrible.
And you get down here toward Kansas City, you guys are still dry, but
it's
horrible. Nothing like what we got up there,
We've got grass going dormant already.
Yeah, we do too. It's unbelievable.
And it just came out of dormancy.
Yeah, and it goes back the other way. On the deal, so what the heck. What are you doing today? You going fishing?
Yes, I've got my boat out in the parking lot. Just got it back from Sportsman's Outfitter Marine. They put a new trolling motor on it for me, and great bunch of guys down there. Dave Hemme, he's the head mechanic down there, and there's just nothing he can't do, but... I got it all ready. Got a new trolling motor for my birthday. He put it on there for me, and they were tired of looking at my I've got a cooler seat I've got a bay boat, and the outside of it was cracking and falling apart. And they were nice enough to get me another one.
Wow.
A new cooler with a new seat.
Wow.
Great bunch of guys down there.
Oh,
unbelievable. You're in the market for a boat, or you know, sooner or later you're going to have a problem with your boat. That's just the nature of the beast. Go down there, Sportsman's Outfitter Marine. They will take good care of you.
I love those guys.
But yeah, I've got my boat out there in the parking lot, so
do
I'm
you?
Ready to go.
Might not be there when you get out.
Yeah, down here, around here.
Down.
We may have to see what's in that cooler.
Yeah, I really do.
It's too early to drink what's in
mass
it.
Mass quantities.
Yeah.
It is. My
well,
dad
it's
always
12
said
o'clock somewhere, right?
It's noon somewhere. Right. Let's go. Let's have it. What the heck? I remember them old boys, they'd run around, they'd take the lid off, say, these lids are so unhandy.
Never saw an AM or PM on any of them.
Yeah. That's true.
Well, that wraps up for a strange edition. Kelly, thank you for coming down with me.
Thank
rode
you
down
guys.
With me this morning, and we talked a little turkey hunting. Be safe out there. It ought to really get good the last week of turkey season, I think. So we'll see what's going to happen. So what the hey. So.
And maybe if we get some rain, maybe it'll warm up enough. We'll see some mushrooms, too.
Oh,
I'm ready
so.
For some.
Ooh, wouldn't that be nice?
I don't have high hopes, though.
That wraps it up for this edition of Midwest Outdoors. We got to go for this week. The next time we see ya, I hope we see you in a great outdoor.
Have a great week. So long, everybody.